I'm impressed to be here and impressed to speak here in English. I hope it will be nice enough and for me not to be obliged to switch to French, but I will manage, or try to manage, by the way. And thank you so much, dear John, dear Catherine, to have invited me tonight. It's both for me a pleasure and an honor to be here. And I think it's, in a way, for me, a kind of accomplishment of what we have tried to do since the past 5 years around Une brève histoire de l'avenir, as certainly Thomas Cole's cycle was and still is and will remain, I hope, the kind of climax of our project in a way. I think it was, I told you when we saw each other last Tuesday for the exhibition, that if the loan wouldn't have been possible, then, in a way, I don't know what exactly could have been my plan B. So, you know, sometimes you get to have your plan A because your plan B is not, you know, so easy to foresee. And so I'm very, very happy to for tonight and very pleased and honored to share it with Amy. And I admire your work very much. And we just met, but I have read you carefully many times, and I admire a lot what you are doing in Yale, one of the most beautiful places, I think, in terms of not only for British art, but for art as a whole in America. So I'm very pleased of that. So maybe what I want to do, in a way, is much more than a lecture, it's a kind of a small talk about the exhibition itself, and also why, for us, Thomas Cole's cycle was so important, and what's the point of it, and with some photos I brought you also to show you how both we have been trying to present it within the exhibition, but also how the fact that the Thomas Cole cycle was chosen, how it has influenced also not only the gallery where it's presented, but also other commissions to artists and even other choices of works of art, ancient works of art. So I think it's quite important for you to say. The photos, some of the photos I brought are good, some of them are not that good, but I hope that you will go and see the exhibition, which will remain in the Louvre up to, I think, January 4, if I'm not wrong. So you have some time to go and see it. And I think that for you American people, maybe it's not worth seeing it because, of course, you can see the Thomas Cole in New York quite easily. But for us French people, it's quite an event, in fact, to saw them in France. It's the first time that they're coming to France, and in a way, it's an event in itself, if I may say so. So, very briefly, because if I'm starting too long, I think we won't have time enough, but just to say what's a brève histoire de l'avenir, or a brief history of future. Because as a whole, it's quite strange in a way for many reasons. A Brief History of Future is the title of a book published by Jacques Attali in 2006. You know who Jacques Attali is. He is both an engineer and economist, and he has been for years the advisor of François Mitterrand, and then afterwards since he has been working for, I think, 15 or 20 years in social economy and global economy, and is very much involved in all the issues of economy. He's also a prolific writer because I think that he managed to publish 2 or 3 books per year. I don't know how he does, but, you know, and I'm married because it's not something I will be able to do, but so I'd say it's wonderful for him. And A Brief History of Future is a book that he published in 2006, and mainly his idea was to emphasize the fact that to foresee the future, we need to understand the past. And of course, saying that is not a new idea, but it's an important idea. And if it's not a new idea in terms of social science or history, I think that In the economical field, in a way, it's a new idea to go past to go to the past to understand the present and the future. And Jacques Attali's book met quite a success and is still meeting quite a success. And I think that it was translated in 30 languages, something like that. So many on the world. And so the Jacques Attali is a distinguished economic and writer, but he's not an art historian, but he had the idea, I think, of making something like an exhibition from his book. And I think that he had certainly in mind to benefit of what the museum could offer to literature and to writing as a whole. And he met Henri Loiret at the end of the year 2011, and he talked of the project to Henri and also to Jean Loisy. And Henri decided to organize an exhibition within the Louvre around the thematic of Jacques Attali's book. And the day after, he called me. I was at that time working with him on the Louvre Abu Dhabi, and he called me and asked me to come at his office. And Henri told me, "I think it's a project for you because you're so interested in your universal museum affair." It was the word of Henri, universal museum affair. "That it's something for you." Okay, I say, "Okay, yes." So. And we started working. And to make the story brief, because it's quite a long story, but to make the story brief, in a way, when we start to work together, Jean and I on the project, of course there was the book of Jacques Attali, but in a way the sheet was blank. We have to write something in terms of an exhibition because there is no. There's no cues within Attali's book on works of art or whatever, so we have to work about that. And briefly speaking, but I'd be very happy to answer any question afterwards and during the lecture or afterwards, and you can ask Cathy my email and I will answer all questions about that. But just to make the story as short as possible, in fact, we didn't want, and it was impossible to do so, to illustrate Jacques Attali's book. Of course, an exhibition is not meant to illustrate any books, and so the idea was, in a way, to keep what's the strong, I think, the strength of Jacques Attali's book, which is about the idea of telling a story, and I think that this idea of storytelling is very important for museums and especially for exhibitions, and also to draw from that what could be for us the most important moments within the past, and that in a way how to analyze these moments and how to see art, artistic creation, has worked or can work today with this idea. And we analyzed that, and we thought that because of the space of the Louvre as four parts, it was, in fact, the right way of doing that was to have also four parts of the exhibitions. And the four parts were quite easy, in fact, to determine. One is about, in a way, the beginning and how human beings, in fact, thought of society, of human society, in imitation to the cosmos and to the sky and to what they were, in fact, seeing. And so the first part about the idea of the organization of societies and also the birth of the city. The second large part, which is the one the most important for us tonight, is about the idea of the empire and this cycle of empire. That was, you know, even when I said apart, the Thomas Cole, of course, came at first, so it was important for us to get them. And the third part is about discoveries and the way, in a way, how the world expanded, but also how the world after that shrink, and in a way, it's all the third part is in fact between Christopher Columbus and Joseph Conrad in a way, and the idea of the desire for expansion and also the sadness of the closed world. And the fourth part, which is also in a way linked to Cole, I come back to that afterwards, is about and today and tomorrow, what could we do with everything. And then, of course, our project is not at all an illustration of the book. And in a way, I think that we have taken quite many free interpretations of the book. I think Giacattelli is happy, but I think that sometimes we are not that true to his book. But it's also, I think it's good also to come into a kind of interpretation, like I think an actor or musician can do. And also, of course, something very, very important for us was two things: this idea of universalisms and this idea of, showing works of art from different cultures, from different periods, and with no regards to their to the country they were coming from or to the date of their creations. And it's not chronological, and it's not, you know, Europe and then America and then Asia or whatever, but everything is mixed, and it's something we wanted to have. And the second thing also was to have both ancient art, but also commissions to artists, to contemporary artists. And once again, not having illustration from one by the other, but trying to get something that could be expressed by ancient works of art and also by contemporary artists. And it was for me, as a 19th century art historian, I think it was for me very important, even very interesting, to work with living artists, and it's something that was quite new for me and very interesting to do so. We wanted also, and the exhibition to be clear, I mean, maybe not as clear as Cole is, but I'm not that sure that Cole painting is as clear as you said, but it's something that we can discuss, but, you know, once again. But I think, of course, the idea was maybe not to to reach any kind of theoretical thought about the exhibition, but much more than that, trying to invite people to a kind of a journey, to a kind of dream in a way, and something we will be very happy, both Jean and I, about that. We'll be very happy if our visitors, in fact, imagine something that we haven't thought about. In fact, it's not about giving a theory. I cannot foresee the future. Giacattelli, in fact, can, but I can't. I tell you the truth. I have nothing to tell you about the history of future. I don't know. We'll see. And so it's not, in a way, we don't have any theory about that, but I think it's very important for us today to tell how much museums, and especially the Louvre, but museums in general, are places for imagination, are places for dreamings, and are also in links with the society, that museums are not outside the society. In a way, for me, working on this exhibition as a Louvre curator and as a director of the Musée de la Croix, was not to write any theories about future, because I think I won't be able to do so, but was to say how much museums are for today, and museums, you know, could be seen as ancient institutions, but they are young institutions. They were born only 220 years ago, which is nothing, and they could be destroyed. Unfortunately, they are destroyed today on some places, and they are fragile, and they should also, I think it's important that we tell our contemporaries that museums are part of the society of today, and they are part also of the imagination of today, and speaking of the ancient art is also speaking for today. So it was what we wanted to do. So it's the entrance from the exhibition. You get it right here with beautiful works of Geoffrey Farmer, and also the idea of the Dharma wheel. And in a way, I was speaking about the way we have been not always very, very being true to Giacattelli, but we are starting the exhibition by something exactly by the contrary of what he is saying, because he is saying in his book that a future could be predicted, and then we are starting the exhibition saying that we don't know what's we are blind for our future, we don't know what is our destiny, but it's interesting to do so. We are art historians. So the call, you know them, but it's always a pleasure to see them once again, and you know that it's and I will let because I'm not a cold specialist at all, and Amy is, and John also, and Guillaume, who is over there, my good friend at the Musée du Louvre, is also a good American art specialist, so I will let them to talk about that, but just for us to know why we wanted to select them for the exhibition. And it was certainly one of my first ideas, maybe the first or the second, but very, very Because for me, the cycle was both related. In fact, it was very interesting because, in a way, if you're thinking of the coal cycle, you're dealing with three different periods of time. You're dealing with the Roman Empire, because, of course, the cycle was inspired through a coal by the story of the Roman Empire, and it could be, in a way, seen with this one, by the way, and not only, but by the third one. And so this idea of the Roman Empire, but also America with time, and then America of the 30s. And, of course, at that time, America was not yet the empire it became afterwards, and it still is, but since he was thinking of America of his time, but also America of the future. And it's also part of today because of the resonance the work of Cole has for today in terms of the events, and especially around 9/11, but also in links with what are museums for today, because something that is very important for me as a creator is the fact that the Cole cycle belongs to a public collections since 1837, I think, yeah. So it's a very, very long time. I think it's one of the most ancient positions of a public collections in the States before the creation of the Boston Museum of Fine Arts, for instance, so quite long ago, I think. And it's very important, the fact that it's within the public collections, because being in the public collection is something that belongs to a something that to anybody, to the society as a whole, and it's also what museums are about, in fact, to be the property of the community and not property of one collector or another. So in a way, because of all these reasons, I think Cole, as what we wanted to do with the exhibition and we have wanted to do with the exhibition, was dealing with past, ancient past, Roman antiquity, past, Thomas Cole, in fact, present, past Thomas Cole future, and today, our present, but also our future, because Thomas Cole then is speaking on any empire, any idea of the empire. And very briefly speaking, you know that you have five paintings, four at the same size and the third one larger. And it's what is very interesting is that the cycle is based upon the state of an empire from the Arcadian state up to desolation, but it's also linked to the time of the day from the morning up to the night, which is also very interesting. Of course, but it's something that Amy will tell you and that also Guillaume or John will tell you. It's also related to French and to British painting, of course. And something that is, for me, also very, very important, it's related to all the optical devices and all the optical representations of the 19th century, because, of course, Thomas Cole was perfectly aware of the diorama, of the panorama, and the way he was using the light. You can see when I pass through, using the light, but also something very interesting, the way he was putting the rock at different places on each of the five paintings. Of course, it's something that is linked to the diorama and the idea of the illusion and representation. So, for many reasons, it was the key work. And we succeeded in having it, and I think that I'm really both happy, but also I want to thank very much and very warmly my colleagues of the New York Historical Society, because when I went to saw them and asked them for the call, in fact, I was a little bit afraid because I know that I was asking for the masterwork, and they haven't said yes on the day. It's not the use we are doing. We are always thinking about that, but they sent an email 6 months after, so very quickly, and saying it's okay. So it's wonderful. So it's fantastic. So that's the call, and we'll be speaking. Maybe not to be too long, just to speak about the exhibition. So it's the first room, but it's not exactly the one I want to speak about. I could answer questions afterwards. But what I wanted to show you is the way the core are presented within the exhibition. And they're presented in a gallery where there are, in fact, only three works or three group of works around this idea of the empire. First, this magnificent ensemble of the weapons and helmets, about this idea of the noise of the weapons, and it's a recall of one of the first story, L'Iliade, from Homer, and it's the idea of nomad societies against against the empire. And you see that we are not trying to, as I said before, not trying to be chronological or even to be located within one region or another, because you have work about from Chinese, from Iran, from Europe, and so on. So it's mixed. And you see also that if you see the colors of the exhibition, that we're trying also to have some strong colors with orange, and also we'll have blue and in different places, and also lilac, and so quite strong colors with that. And the call, here they are, and they're presented along with this work of art, which was a commission to a young artist from Egypt, Wael Shoki. And Wael Shoki, with roughly 40, work also on the cycle, on this idea of the cycle and the idea of history cycles, and also the idea of the empires. But as you can see, he's not copying the call, he's not illustrating the call. It's the same idea, but in a completely different way. In fact, he was inspired by a work of art which is in Mexico, and which describes the end of the Aztec Empire, so not at all with the Roman Empire. It's America. It's America, but it's not the same America. And he designed this beautiful screen, very interesting one, at the same size of the screen which belongs to the collections of the Mexican Museum. But the screen in Mexico is in materials and here it's in wood, and it has been made in Italy by a very gifted, in fact, gifted man and specialist craftsman in wood making. And on this side you got the idea of the ideal city. So in a way it could be linked to what we saw before, with this idea of happiness and everything we have with core. And behind that, you have the idea of destruction. You can see it, the idea of destruction and the end of the Aztec Empire because of the treachery of Moctezuma, but it's a story we know. And the idea of Wael is to say that behind each ideal city, you got a destruction. And it's very interesting because it's not ruins as such, but it's also the fact that, you know, new things could be built only if there is destruction before. So it's also very interesting, and it's a way we can see with the call, because of course the last desolation could be also just before the savage state, in a way. So it's just the idea of the cycle. So you can show them, and I'm very happy. The light is not very good on the image, but I think the links between the two is very interesting, because it's not a link of illustration, but it's something more than that. It's about the spirit. And just to end and give the floor to Amy, because she deserves it, and I won't be too long. I wanted also to show you that Thomas Cole, because it was something we have thought about since the very beginning, has also, in a way, inspired also other choice of the ancient works of art, and also inspired other commission, and especially the fact, and this at the end of the exhibition, and we have at the end of the last corridor this, I don't know how to say that, it's not a work of art anymore, it's a fragment of a work of art, and it's a fragment of a sculpture of Rodin, of Auguste Rodin, that was found on Ground Zero, and it was part of the Cantor collection, and it's a fragment of the sculpture The Shadow, L'Ombre, for the Heaven Gates of Rodin, La Porte de l'Enfer de Rodin. And it's also, in fact, very, I think it's yes, it's very moving and it removes you a lot because it's, you know, what it's the trust and what is kept from the sculpture. And it's also linked to the call because, of course, it's the link to the call. And more than that, the commission we have done to Ai Weiwei, the very famous Chinese artist. We commissioned a work of art to Ai Weiwei, and we asked him to have a commission for the last... for the last gallery, and what we ask him is to do something that could be for today and tomorrow. And we ask him, we talk to him, and we send him emails because at that time he can leave China, which was not the case at that time. And we ask him to do something about et demain and tomorrow. What's tomorrow? And he asked us for the selections of works of art, of course, and we sent him the call and the others. And he decided to work in links with the call, with the last call, Desolation, which I can show you it again. Oh, I'm sorry to go back, Desolation. And here you can see the columns and also the fragments, the ruins, very close to the fragment of Rodin, I must say, and also the vegetation that is going back. And Ai Weiwei, I'm coming back to the Ai Weiwei. Ai Weiwei was very impressed by that, and he decided to design this work of art with some remains of columns of old Chinese houses destroyed by all the Chinese urbanization of today. And you can sit on these columns. You can also stand on this column. And of course, it's the idea of the ruins, because they are ruins, but it's also the idea if you are all discussing on the place, if you are all standing on the columns, the idea that a new future could be possible, and that ruins could also be the start of something else. And it's beautifully done because he did it with the stones themselves, but also with the use of the wood. So it's beautiful. It's huge. It's 8 parts, and each of the parts weighed more than 2 tons. So it was quite something to install them within the roof. But another story, but I'll tell you if you want to know. And it's very interesting because it's the idea of the agora, of a place of discussion, but it's also the idea of the way we could act, we can act on our future. We are not only spectators, but we are also part of that. And it's very interesting of that. And of course, other works of art I wanted to show you, and which are close to the Rodin and to the Ai Weiwei, that's beautiful. Stiglitz, you all know that Stiglitz photos, the Titi of Ambition, but the idea that in 1834-35, Cole, of course, had no idea and could not have any idea of the New York of the end of the 19th century or beginning of the 20th century. But New York, in a way, and we all know that, is a symbol of the American Empire. And the symbol, even in the way it was built, because they have all the space they wanted to have and decided to build, you know, all the skyscrapers, in fact, because of, in a way, tempting the sky and scraping the sky. I have many Babel towers. So, and it's a Steichen also. And a work of art, very interesting, from Joseph Beuys, not very well known. It was when Beuys went to America for the first time at the beginning of the 70s, and the Twin Towers were just built, and he took photos of them, and then he drew and he lithographed the drawing. And on the drawing, he put the word of the two names of Christian's martyr, Côme and Damien. And of course, after 9/11, many people have said, okay, it's what's about prophecy and so on. And I'm not sure that it's about prophecy, but certainly it was a period of time when Beuys was very much into his shamanic state. It was just before he did his experience with the coyote, and so it's all the shamanic things. And Côme and Damien were doctors, and they were in fact caring for people. So, and certainly the idea that these two twins towers, because there was a sign of something, were also the sign of the fragility of America. And so it's very interesting to say so. And that's the work of art I show you by then. And then once again, and it will be the end of my talk. I've been too long, I think. But with the Ai Weiwei, I just to end with that I've been asked many times, and Jean also since the beginning of the exposition, about the idea of the artist as prophet, and it could be said for Cole, and could be said for Beuys, or could be said for Ai Weiwei. And for me, I'm not sure that an artist is a prophet. Of course, it's a romantic construction, and you know that all the Saint-Simonian theory has been built on the fact that an artist is both a king, priest, and prophet. But besides this romantic theory, I think that artists are not prophets as such, but because they are able, thanks to their sensibility and thanks to their the clarity of their view, they're able to analyze what is going on, and like Cole did, for instance, or like Beuys did, or like Ai Weiwei is doing, and also because they are not within the society the same way we are, because they have a step aside or a step behind or a step below or wherever, but in a way not exactly in the mainstream, then they are able to conceive works that are outside the mainstream, and then in a way they step somewhere else that could last and that could maybe show us something that could be afterwards interpreted as prophecies, but they are not, as a whole.